Good morning, teaching every one of you. It's good to see you in the house of God today. I must apologise in advance because you're going to hear a very nasally preacher this morning. I came down with a cold in the middle of the week and it just hasn't shook off quite as well as I'd hoped. But forgive me for that today. But we're going to join together and worship our God this morning. And we're going to start that by singing the words of the hymn number 41. Hymn number 41. Come sing my soul and praise the Lord who hath redeemed thee by his blood. Delivered thee from chains that bound and brought thee to redemption ground. A wonderful note of victory to begin our praise this morning. Let's stand together while we sing this hymn.
Thank you.
come to our God in prayer. Let's commit our service to Him and into His keeping. Almighty God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for the return of thy day. Lord, we thank you for the day that you set aside as a day of rest, a day to come into thy house, to worship thee, to praise thee as thou ought to be praised. And Lord, we do pray that today we would worship you, that Lord, we would completely give our hearts over to thy service, that Lord, there would not be a distracting thought, that Lord, there would not be a thought perhaps of this previous week or of the incoming week, but Lord, I pray that today we would be taken up with you. Lord, we would be, as that hymn tells us, that we would keep falling in love with you over and over again, Lord. We do pray that as we come to open the scriptures, Lord, today, as we even in our own personal lives, Lord, even at home, Lord, we do pray that the scriptures would be open and that Christ would be made real to us. Lord, we would see our Saviour, see all that he accomplished for us, and see the great love and mercy he bestowed upon us. And in seeing all of that, Lord, that we would give our hearts afresh to thee. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to be drawn near to thee today. Lord, we are feeble creatures. Lord, the scriptures, they tell us that we are all as an unclean thing. Lord, we thank you that even when we are unfaithful, we thank you that the Bible reminds us, yet he abideth faithful. You are a faithful God to us. You are a faithful Father to us. And even when we stray from thee, Lord, we thank you that you are united to us in Christ. Lord, we do pray that that truth would be burned upon our hearts. Lord, we do pray that we would not be like sheep wandering far from thee, but Lord, we would stay close to our good shepherd. Lord, you would help us to have a closer walk with thee each and every day. Lord, we thank you for this day that we can have, Lord, where we come into thy house and praise thee. We do pray that today as we meet together that you would bless our hearts, you would speak to our souls, Lord. We do pray that you would minister to each and every one according to their needs, Lord. We all have different needs, Lord. We all have different problems and burdens that we're carrying today. Lord, I pray that there would be a word in season for each and every one. Lord, there would be a word that would change our hearts, Lord. A word that would give us a fresh and a clean heart, Lord. We do pray that we would leave this building this morning changed for Christ. Changed having our eyes fixed on thee, our eternal God. Knowing that you are our prophet, our priest and our king. Lord, you are everything to us. Lord, even though we have nothing else in this world, if we have Christ, we have all that we need. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to realise that today. Lord, we do ask that you would be with this congregation here in Ballygowan. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for its people, Lord. We thank you for those that are saved here in this building this morning, walking with thee. Lord, we pray, minister to their hearts. Lord, for those in the congregation today that are sick, they're laid aside, they're unable to be out in the house of God. Lord, they are perhaps feeling that loneliness, Lord, of not being in the company of God's people, not being in the house of God. We do pray that today that your Spirit, that your presence would be right beside them, would minister unto them, and would give them help and grace from on high. Lord, we do pray for this church, Lord, as they seek for the future, for a minister, Lord. We do pray that you would give wisdom, give help to the oversight, Lord. We do pray that all things would be done for the name of Christ and for the extension of his kingdom. Lord, we do pray that you would continue to bless this church here. Lord, we do ask that you would present yourself with us. Lord, present yourself wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the word of God is opened this morning. We do pray that your Spirit would give help, would give liberty, would give power, Lord, as the word of God goes forth, that it would not return unto thee void. Lord, we do ask that you would be with our gathering this morning. Help us, Lord, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And help us, Lord, to give thee every aspect of our heart over to thee. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now. Bless our souls. We ask all of these things in the name of Christ our Saviour. Amen. We're going to turn to our second hymn of praise this morning. It is the hymn 594. 594, when my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, and the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. Wonderful words, a wonderful hymn, and let's sing it with praise and joy in our hearts, and we'll stand while we sing together. Hymn it is. Truly, when we come to that land that is fairer than day, there's nothing more fair in that land than our Saviour Jesus Christ, the one that we will see, the one whose smile will welcome us there. And we want to read somewhat about that in Revelation 21. If you have your Bible, please turn to that portion of God's Word. Revelation 21, here in this chapter we read of John's vision. He saw the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, how God's people were blessed. And we want to read the first 8 verses of this chapter in Revelation 21. Revelation 21, beginning at verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 8. Let's all give keen attention to God's word this morning. Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Amen. We trust that God will bless his word to our hearts this morning, and will minister it to our souls as he sees fit. We're going to ask our brother, Mr. Benison, if he'll come and give the announcements for the incoming week.
Folks, we do give you a warm welcome to the service this morning. We appreciate your attendance, and it is good to see you in the house of God this morning. To those who are listening in online, we do give you a welcome as well. Thank you for joining with us, and we trust that you will know the blessing of God today. We also give a warm welcome to our preacher today, Mr. Jonathan Storey, a licentiate of our presbytery. It's not the first time that he's been with us. We do welcome him back. We've enjoyed his ministry in the past, and we look forward to it again today. He's coming in a different capacity from the previous times. He came before as a single man. He got married in the summer. Now, he hasn't fallen out with his wife. She's not here this morning because she's teaching Sunday school, but she will be with him tonight in the will of God. We do give him a warm welcome. We do trust that he'll feel at home in the pulpit, and he'll know the help of God in the preaching of the word. Immediately after the service this morning, there is a short meeting for the Awana workers over in the church hall. If you could make your way over immediately the service ends, please. Tonight at 6:30, the prayer meeting up in the prayer room prior to the evening gospel service. Then at 7 p.m. Our brother Jonathan will be back to bring the word of God to us this evening. And then immediately after the conclusion of the evening service, we will be having our communion service. The two occasions that we do have it during the year to allow those who maybe have to rush off in the morning times have that availability to them to join with us. So we trust that you will remember that. If you need the communion cups, the box is sitting there on the table as you leave this morning. The baskets are also at the exit doors as you leave, and please give as the Lord has prospered you to the work of God here. The meetings during the week, tomorrow morning at 10:30, the Mother and Toddlers group recommences, so you're welcome to come along, those that have young children, to come to that meeting. Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, Bible study and prayer meeting, and the Reverend Murray will be bringing the word at that meeting. Saturday night, 7:30, the Youth Reach recommences on a bi-weekly basis, so this is their first week. The speaker will be Mr. Danny Roberts, and I've been told as well it's pizza night and a tuck shop, so maybe some of yous might feel a bit younger than you are just to come along for those. But that's for the Youth Reach, Saturday night, 7:30. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school at 10, the services 11:30 and 7, preceded by the half hour of prayer before those meetings. And the preacher next week will be Mr. Aaron Fitzsimmons, who is also a licentiate of the presbytery. So do remember those meetings next Lord's Day. Just a couple of other announcements. Take a note of them. Next Sunday morning at 10:15 on Radio Ulster, the morning service will be coming from our Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church. So do remember that. Tune in, listen in, and pray for the Reverend Peter McIntyre as he preaches God's Word. Next Sunday morning, service, Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church on the radio. And then just a couple of advance announcements. The harvest services are on Sunday the 9th of October and Monday night the 10th of October. And just in relation to that, could we meet with the ladies after the service, after the morning service next week, as we are planning to have some refreshments at the end of the Monday night meeting. If you could do that for us, ladies, and men too, if some of you can stay, because we will have then the organisation to get things ready for that, those services as well. Just other commencement dates for the church works. Can't really starting to kick in. The children's meeting on a bi-weekly basis will be starting Tuesday the 4th of October. Awana, Monday the 10th of October, on a bi-weekly basis. And the youth fellowship are planning to meet once a month after the evening service. That first start date has still to be advised. Do remember as well those that are laid aside at home, in hospital, in nursing home. We know the names, but we trust that you will remember them at the throne of grace in prayer. And then just on the church notice board, there is a little thank you card there from our sister Ailsa Lewis regarding her recent bereavement. And so there's a little thank you card for you to read. It's posted there on the board along the hall, please. That's all the announcements that we need to make this morning. I'm going to hand the rest of the meeting over to your brother. Thank you.
I thank Mr. Bennison for his kind words of welcome, and I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out as well this morning. It's a very strange thing for me, being in a pulpit, just in a regular suit and not in a college uniform. I'm still trying to get adjusted to it, and it's a strange thing now, I must say, but the Lord has been good over the past 4 years, and I want to thank you just on a public forum. I want to thank you for your prayers for the Whitfield College, and for even myself and Stephen Crawford as we've graduated now. The Lord truly has been faithful, he's been good, and he has given us opportunities to serve him and to do a work for him, and just do pray that the Lord will open doors and he'll close doors as he sees fit, and that we'll be in the very centre of his will. And yes, an old married man now, and it's been good. The Lord has been so good and so faithful in giving me a wife, a lovely wife, Lauren, that she is, and the Lord's blessed indeed in a great way in our lives. And I just want to thank you all for your prayers, thank you all for your support and your love. And let's turn to another hymn before we come to the message. It's the hymn 598. It's based on beautiful words in Revelation 22 and verse 4. It says there, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." 598, face to face with Christ, my Saviour. And we'll stand again while we sing this hymn. Had your Weetabix this morning, and if you were switched on this morning, you'll notice that there was I wasn't just being a little bit lazy this morning and picking the hymns, just opened the page and I saw all of them were close together and we picked them. They all had a theme, and they all had a theme of the reading that we have this morning in Revelation 21, when our face will see Christ, when we'll see our Saviour, when we will be in the joy and the bliss of heaven. What a wonderful thought that is. And therefore, let's come together and pray. Let's pray that the Lord will speak to us through his word today. Keep your Bibles open today, because we'll have to turn to a couple of passages, but we do pray that the Lord will bless us today as we seek his face and as we listen to his word and what he would have to say to us. Let's pray. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that our Saviour is no longer in the tomb, but Lord, he is today in glory, praying for us, his people. We thank you, Lord, that one day we will see his face. One day we will be in heaven's joy with him forevermore. Lord, we do pray that as we come now to study thy word, to learn more from it, we do pray that we would see the face of Christ our Saviour, even while here on this earth. But Lord, through thy word you would reveal more of his wonderful person, more of his wonderful work that he has performed on our behalf. You would reveal more of Christ to us. Help us, Lord, to see him. And help us, Lord, in seeing him, to glorify him, to worship him, to praise him, and to honour him in all that we say and do. Lord, we ask, give help now of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I need thy help. Speak through me. May the word of God be spoken forth today, Lord, in mighty power. Lord, may it find a resting place in the hearts and souls of thy people. We do pray that our hearts and lives will be changed, Lord, this morning, knowing more of Christ and knowing more of his wonderful person. We ask all of these things in the name of our Saviour, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Home. Home is a word and a place that gives us very fond feelings, very fond memories. Whether it is the place that we grew up, or whether it is now the place that we call home, I'm sure that the word, it brings warm emotions to our hearts. It is something that myself and my wife have been laughing about recently, because when we say the word home, it can come with a lot of confusion. Are we talking about home in Lisburn with her mum and dad? That's her home, where she came from. Are we talking about Ballymoney, my home, with mum and dad, where they are at? Or do we mean the new house that we have now called home? Which home are we mentioning? Which home are we talking about? But it can be a little bit confusing for us, but it comes with much laughter as well. But I'm sure that we have all heard the many sayings about home. Home is where the heart is. Home is not a person, it's a place. There's no place like home. All of these sayings, they have merit, because there's something very special about our home. But for the Christian, that word home, it has such greater significance than perhaps we care to realise. That is because while we have our homes here on this earth, and the Lord is pleased to bless, I'm sure, many of us with wonderful, beautiful homes that perhaps we've even made ourselves, they are not our real homes. This is not truly where we belong. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, it teaches us there that our conversation is in heaven. And that Greek word for conversation, it's a very interesting one, because it can be translated as citizenship. So therefore we could read Philippians 3 verse 20 as, our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, we are British citizens. Yes, we have our UK passports. Perhaps you've got a new blue passport, a new shiny passport, a wonderful thing. But our citizenship is not of this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We don't belong to this world. We belong to the realms of glory. And C.H. Spurgeon, he said that the Christian is the most contented man in the world, but he is least contented with the world. He is like the traveller in an inn, perfectly satisfied with the inn and its accommodation, considering it as an inn, but putting quite off all consideration of the idea of making it his home. This world is not our final home. It is not our final resting place. But at times we can forget that. At times we can forget that in our Christian life. And I believe that that can lead us to much distress, to much worry. And therefore I want us to consider, for a short time this morning together, I want us to consider words about our eternal home. Words about our eternal home, because there are many words given to us in Scripture about our eternal rest, about that place that we will one day be with Christ forever. And therefore, first of all, I would like us to think about words for the weary. Words for the weary. Because we all, I'm sure, get weary in this life. We all feel that tiredness of carrying around burdens. And let's face it, as many times as we take our burdens to the Lord, we never truly leave all of our burdens there. We never truly cast all of our care at His feet. We are commanded to cast all of our care on Christ, knowing that He cares for us. But how too often do we actually lay all of our burdens at His feet? Perhaps we lay some of our burdens down. Not all of them. We only lay a small portion of the burdens that we have before the feet of Christ. We still carry about those burdens. Or perhaps we do leave all of our burdens with the Lord. But in a short space of time, we pick them burdens right back up again. We carry about so much weight that it wearies us. It causes us to be weary in this world. But yet we know that one day, all of those burdens, all of those weights that we carry around in this life, they will be no more. They will be lifted eternally from our shoulders. And that is why we read words to the weary in Hebrews chapter 4. Please turn back there to Hebrews chapter 4. We read the words of God to the weary in His word. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse number 9. Hebrews 4 verse 9, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." When we are weary and tired from the trials in this life, when we are weary and worn out in this world, what is the one thing that each and every one of us we look forward to? It's rest. When we have had a long, hard day at work, and I haven't experienced one of those for a long time, but when we have long, hard days at work, what's the one thing that we look forward to? It's rest. Getting home, putting our feet up, and resting. And then perhaps when all of our house chores are finished for the day, when that picture frame has finally been put up on the wall that your wife's been asking you to put up, when you've been doing all of those chores around the house, making sure that it's all ready, what is the one thing we look forward to? It's rest. Getting to our bed, resting, enjoying the recharging of our energy. And these verses, they speak of rest in such a beautiful manner. Not a rest that is temporal, but a rest that is eternal. Because if you look at Hebrews chapter 4 here, Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse number 4, it says there at the end of the verse, "And God did rest the seventh day from all His works." God rested in the seventh day from creation. He hallowed it. He blessed this day and gave it and set it aside to be a day of rest. Then, Hebrews 4 verse 10, it continues on and it says that he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Christ, he finished his work. He completed the work of redemption for us. We now stand, as we sang earlier, on redemption ground because Christ finished the work. And then he entered into his rest. He had completed his work that the Father gave him to do and now entered into his own rest. And then the writer of Hebrews tells us in verse number 9 that therefore there remaineth a rest for the people of God. We see here in this passage that there's just a build-up. It speaks of the rest of God. God rested on the seventh day. It speaks of the rest of Christ. He worked for the work of redemption, accomplished it on our behalf, and then rested. Now it tells us that we are exhorted to labour, therefore, to enter into that rest. God in His work of creation, He worked, He laboured, He set forth the planets and the stars and all that is in this universe, created it. That was His work, the work of His hands. Then He rested. Christ, as we have said, He came into this world, obeyed the law of God perfectly, accomplished redemption, a perfect atonement for us. Suffered, bled and died on our behalf. After He had accomplished that work, He rested. That is why we are commanded in verse number 11 to labour therefore to enter into that rest. just because that we know we are going to that rest, because we know we are going to heaven, it should not make us lax. It should not make us content with just reaching heaven and not working and labouring for Christ here below to enter into that rest. The Booth brothers, they sing a lovely chorus. And it says this in the chorus of it: "I'm only passing through on my way home. Heaven is the place where I belong. I'm only passing through on my way home. Heaven is the place where I belong." Heaven is our eternal rest. But I wonder, in looking forward to that eternal rest, are we, as verse number 11 teaches us, labouring to enter into that rest? Perhaps you are in the Lord's work. Perhaps you're part of the Awana group. Perhaps you're part of the children's work, the youth work, whatever it may be. You labour for the Lord. You want to see a work done for Christ here in this world. We only have a limited time here to labour for Christ. But I wonder, are we beginning to become weary in the Lord's work? Weary that we don't see progress. Weary that we don't see people coming into the church. Weary that things truly today are just not going the way of Christ. They're going the way of the world. But yet, the Lord's words to hear that are weary, the Lord's words to those who are weary in this world and weary perhaps in the work, is to continue to labour. Because there will one day be an eternal rest. There will be a time when we can forever enjoy that rest. But we are to labour here below. Galatians 6 verse 9 tells us, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Therefore, if you're weary this morning, heed the words of God. Labour, therefore, to enter into that rest. Continue, because one day there will be a day when the weights and the weariness of this world will be eternally lifted from your shoulder. You'll never have to worry about that weariness again. But labour while you're here for Christ. Those are the words to the weary here in Hebrews 4. But second, I believe that there are words for the anxious. And they're back in Revelation 21, the passage that we read together. Revelation 21 and verse number 4, it gives us a beautiful, beautiful verse. Revelation 21 and the verse number 4. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and no more pain." The great no mores that Christ has promised to us. No more crying, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. We all know what it is to experience each and every one of these things. These are tremendous promises from God that there will one day be no more of these. But we all get anxieties in this life in one form or another. There are those who have medically diagnosed anxiety and they experience a greater degree of anxiety for a longer period of time. And there are those who perhaps experience less anxiety in this life. But yet, I am sure that we all know in some measure what it is to be anxious. It's that feeling in the very pit of your stomach where you're fearful or worried about an outcome or something that is in the future. It's a horrible feeling to have, and the Bible has much instruction, and it speaks of the fearful mind and the trembling heart. And it has much instruction for the believer who has these anxieties, who has worries like this in their life. We've already mentioned that verse in 1 Peter 5 verse 7. "You are to cast all of your burdens upon the Lord, knowing that He careth for you." And that word there, to cast our care on the Lord, that word care can also be translated as anxieties. To cast all of our anxieties on Him. Cast all of our worries on Him. Psalm 55 verse 22, it tells us, "Cast thy burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." These are verses that give great instruction to what we can do right now, here on this earth, with our fears, with our anxieties that we carry around with us. We are to cast them completely on the Lord, knowing that His grace will sustain us. But there are more specific words given to those who carry about anxieties, who carry about worries and fears in John chapter 14. Over in John chapter 14, there are very familiar words, I'm sure, to each of us. Perhaps you learned them in Sunday school, perhaps you are a child in here this morning and you're currently learning them in Sunday school. John chapter 14, in the first four verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Christ here is telling his people, do not let your heart be afraid. Do not let your heart be fearful. Do not let your anxieties overcome you. Why? Because there is a place being prepared for you from before all eternity. A place which Christ himself, not the angels of God, but the very Son of God, is preparing this place for you. That is why he begins this chapter in John 14 by saying, let not your heart be troubled. What is Christ asking from you as a child of God? What is Christ asking from you as a Christian? What is Christ asking from you, perhaps an anxious child of God this morning? He is asking you to trust him. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He tells us in verse 2, if it were not so, I would have told you. Christ would never give false hope to his children. Therefore we know that when he says that he goes to prepare a place for us, that is what he is doing. That is what he has done. Waiting for us at the end of our life is an eternal rest, promised to all those who trust in Christ. A place where we will no longer struggle with our doubts, we will no longer struggle with our fears, because our minds and our hearts will be perfectly fixed on Christ. Isn't that the great reason why in this life we have so many doubts and fears? Why in this life we have anxieties? It's because we get our eyes off Christ. I'm not saying it's the perfect solution, that if you have your eyes fixed on Christ each and every day, you'll be fine. It would be great if that were the case, but it's not. Sadly, in each and every one of our lives, it's the great reason why we have doubts and fears. We forget whose hand we are in. We are forgetting the one who holds us and holds our future. We forget to keep our eyes looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember Peter, he was walking on the water. When did he begin to sink? When he looked around at his situation. When he looked around at the waves that were crashing in. He took his eyes off Christ. Then he began to sink. But an American pastor, he once said that heaven is the home for those who want to see and experience the greatness of their God in a way that their heart has always desired, but they have never been able to fully achieve here on this earth. Listen to that again. Heaven is the home for those who want to see and experience the greatness of their God in a way their heart has always desired, but they have never been able to fully achieve here on this earth. We want to fix our eyes on Christ. We want to have our hearts always looking to him, each and every day. But we are creatures of the flesh. We still struggle with sin each and every day. And until that day that we reach heaven, we will struggle. We will not be able to perfectly fix our eyes on Christ. There's a hymn that I love to sing. It says, my heart is fixed, eternal God, fixed on thee, fixed on thee. And my eternal choice is made, Christ for me. Christ for me. We want that here on this earth. We want to have our eyes and our hearts and our minds focused solely on Christ. But we can't, because we're constrained by the flesh. But yet, when we reach heaven, we will forever be able to fully fix our hearts and our eyes on Christ and worship him perfectly through all eternity. And what a great joy that will be to the children of God. To perfectly worship our Saviour. We want to perfectly worship him here below. We come pretty close in the free church. We're not a perfect church. We wish that we could worship Christ in a way that is pleasing to Him. We want to do that each and every Sunday. But when we reach heaven, all of those anxieties, all of those fears, there'll be no more. Why? Because we will perfectly worship our Saviour, perfectly fixing our eyes on Him every day. Those are Christ's words to the anxious. And lastly, I would like us to consider words for the lonely. Look there to Revelation 21. In the verse number 3. Revelation 21 in the verse number 3. The very end of that verse it says, God Himself shall be with them. God Himself shall be with them. What a truly wonderful vision John was blessed to see. The presence of God dwelling with His people. And for those that feel the hurt of being lonely, this is the great words that Scripture brings to us, to bring great comfort about heaven. We will be with Him. There will not be a day that goes by in heaven that we do not fully enjoy and experience the presence of our God. While there are many times on this earth that we feel abandoned by our friends, abandoned perhaps by our loved ones, perhaps even in this meeting this morning, there is one that feels abandoned by God. There is one day that we will forever feel the presence of God, enjoy the presence of God, worship in the presence of God. In that perfect rest in heaven, we will enjoy His presence every day. The one who saved us and washed us from our sin. 1 John 3 verse 2, it says there, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. To see God in heaven, what a wonderful thing that will be. But however, we will not actually see God. You think of your Westminster Shorter Catechism and ask the question, what is God? And the response is given, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal and unchangeable. We cannot see that which is spirit with our eyes. We will not actually see God the Father. He is an infinite being, and an infinite being cannot be contained to one place in space. But Jonathan Edwards, he said that we will be in such a state that our souls, without the aid of our eyes, will have a direct and immediate apprehension of the invisible God. The prophet Isaiah, he speaks of the one who we will see on that day. He says in Isaiah 33 verse 17, Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty, and shall behold the land that is very far off. We will see King Jesus. We will see the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He who is sitting on the throne, our Saviour and our King. John Bunyan, he said that Christ is the desire of nations, the joy of angels, the delight of the Father. What a solace then there must be to the soul that is filled, that he has to possess Him for all eternity. We will possess Christ forevermore in heaven, never to be lonely again. Our souls will be with Him forever. We will never feel that pain of loneliness, never feel that pain of abandonment again. A while ago I was listening to a preacher, and he spoke on that verse, in those verses at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Please turn back there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, in the last two verses, we read these words. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. In these verses, Paul is promoting that great attribute of love. He is teaching the Corinthian church how wonderful it is to abide in love and in the love of Christ. He said earlier in this chapter, When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. He is speaking about that time when we reach the kingdom of heaven, when our knowledge will no longer be imperfect. That is the context of these two verses at the end of 1 Corinthians. Heaven, our eternal home. And they are in reference to that land that we will go to one day. And Paul then says at the end of this chapter, now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. On our pilgrimage in this world we have each of these. But why is charity the greatest? It is that Greek word agape, the word love, the greatest Greek word for love. Why does love abide? Why does love remain? Why is love the greatest of these three attributes? It is because faith and hope will one day be no more. We will no longer need faith because our faith will become sight. We will see Christ in all of his beauty. We will no longer need hope because we will be in that land. We will have entered into our eternal rest, that enjoyment of Christ forevermore. What abides? What remains? It's love. Love for the one who paid our ransom. Love for the one who redeemed us. Love will abide forevermore in heaven. The love of God toward us and our love made perfect toward him. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17 says there, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. On that day when Christ comes to claim his children, we will be forevermore with the Lord, with our Saviour. These are the words of Scripture about our eternal home. Words for the weary, that one day we can cast all of our burdens before Christ. One day we will perfectly know the weightless enjoyment of worshipping Christ. Words to the anxious, words to those who have fears in this life. We will see the King. Words to the lonely, we will never feel the pain of loneliness again. I pray that if you are in any of those trials, if you are perhaps a weary child of God, an anxious child of God, or perhaps you're a lonely child of God this morning, I pray that these words will bring comfort and encouragement to your soul and will help you to fix your eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, as you contemplate the eternal rest that lies before each and every one of us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scripture of truth. Lord, we thank you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who purchased for us an eternal home in heaven, purchased for us redemption from the bondage of sin. The Lord has now given us eternal life. The Lord, that doesn't begin when we pass from this scene of time, but eternal life that begins the very moment we accept you as our Saviour. Lord, we thank you for your love, for your grace and your mercy that you have bestowed upon us. And therefore, Lord, help us to think of that eternal rest. Help us to get our eyes and our minds and our hearts off the things of this world, Lord, off those things that would only drag us down. And help us to focus our eyes and our attention on thee, our Saviour. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Give comfort and encouragement to thy people today. And Lord, if there is one in the meeting this morning that is not on their way to that eternal rest, is not trusting in thee to save them from their sin, Lord, I pray, speak to them this morning and help them to turn in faith to thee. Lord, we ask all of these things in our Saviour's wonderful and all precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to one final hymn. We just want to sing two verses of it in closing. The hymn 590 tells us there, O think of the home over there, by the side of the river of light, where the saints all immortal and fair are robed in their garments of white. We're going to sing verse number 1 and verse number 3 of the hymn 590 to the tune, There's a Land That Is Fairer Than Day. Thank you. loving God and Father in heaven, we do pray that we would think of our Saviour, that we would get our eyes fixed on him. Lord, that you would help each and every child of thine today. Lord, if they have worries, Lord, if they have weariness in this life, if they have anxieties and loneliness and fears, Lord, we do pray, help them to cast their burden on thee, knowing that you will sustain them. Lord, we ask, be with us today, take us to our homes in safety. Lord, may we praise you throughout the entirety of this day. Bring us out again to the evening service to hear the wonderful gospel of Christ, who saves men from their sin. Lord, we ask all of these things in the name of Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.